say,
Dr. Maurice Taylor was the executive director at that time.
Of what?
Of the United Jewish Federation.
Are there any other executive positions that you've held that you can recall at this point, Todd?
I want to add that when the Women's Division of Brandeis University was to be formed, a few of the women were called in as to the advisability of having another organization in the community that we felt was already over-organized.
What year about was this?
I don't remember.
Not too long ago, though.
Oh, it was quite some time ago, yes. So that a few of us were called in because at that time the Pittsburgh Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations felt that we were already over-organized, and Ruth Carlin, for instance, mm-hmm. and Sarah Munter and I and Molly Line were called in,
Sarah
Mrs. Friedberg, Ruth Carlin, Sarah Munter, Lillian Friedberg, and I were called in, and we decided that since this was the first Jewish-sponsored university, Brandeis University, that we certainly owe it the support. And a meeting was called at the William Penn Hotel, and
this is the first Jewish-sponsored
university.
Meeting at where?
We called a meeting at the William Penn Hotel with a goodly number of women, and the university, the Women's Division of Brandeis University in Pittsburgh was organized.
Did you have a an office on that?
No, I've been on the board ever since its organization.
Mm-hmm. All right, now any other organizations that you held?
I was the vice president of the Council of Jewish Women.
What year, can you recall that?
No, I don't. Except that I was really...
Who was the president? Do you recall that at the time?
When you were vice president?
Lola Schoenfeld, Mrs. Leo Schoenfeld.
That was in the 30s then, or the early 40s.
I don't remember. But I make mention, because here again this is something historical. The Council of Jewish Women, the major membership of the council at that time were German women, and I'm Russian, and it was sort of a feather in my cap to be asked to be a vice president. In fact, when Mrs. Charles B. Berger, who was the chairman of the nominating committee at that time, and she asked me to be the first vice president, she said, "You know what that means, Myrtle, don't you?" And I said, "I think I do. You expect me that in the event the following nominating committee would meet, that they may ask me to be the president, and I will not be ready to take presidency because our family's not complete." She says, "Well, then in that case, you can't be first vice president." She was one of the finest parliamentarians in the community, and she said, "You'll have to be the fourth vice president because I already have the second and third." So I became the fourth vice president of the Council of Jewish Women, and I have been on the board of the council since that time, and I've held chairmanships all the time, and now I, as of the past 4 years, I'm a life member of the Council of Jewish Women.
I would imagine that to ask you of all the chairmanships of committees that you've had would be too numerous to mention, or you couldn't remember them all.
No.
So we wanted to get the main things down here.
Well, as long as we're talking about the council, what do you feel your the best thing that they did while you were working with them? What do you feel? Do you have any preference?
The program of council was totally different than any other organization that was in existence. To begin with, it was completely a community organization, a Pittsburgh community. We were not involved at that time in anything overseas. We took care of the community here. There was the service to the blind, service to the deaf. In fact, council organized several of the organizations. They were the pilot organization sponsoring these things in the community. I think that's why it held my interest, particularly. We had what was then called the, we had a shop, a very exclusive shop, where the people who, women who were extraordinarily good at needlework or baking or sewing of any kind, we had the, I'll recall the name and I'll give it to you a little bit later, a very fine shop, and the women earned their livelihood that way. It was perhaps one of the finest shops in the city as far as handmade goods was concerned.
On Oliver Avenue?
No. It was in the near the Chemly Hotel. I'll think of the name in a minute. I know I have forgotten.
They had
excellent legislative programs even at that time.
Now, were you still active as you were working with the council? Were you still active in your other commitments?
Yes. Continued in several.
You belong to the B'nai Israel. Were you active in their sisterhood?
I still am.
Yes.
I have been from the very beginning.
You didn't mention that.
Let me give you the names of the organizations. I was president of the Pittsburgh chapter of ADASA. I was a vice president of Alder Dice PTA. On the board of Lindbergh School.
Wait a minute, vice president.
Of the Alder Dice PTA.
Mm-hmm.
A member of the board of the Linden School PTA. I was a vice president of the Hadassah Tri-State Region.
Hadassah what Tri-State Region?
Tri-State Region. I was a vice president of the Council on Jewish Education.
While your children were little, did you also do Brownie or Girl Scout work? Were they active?
Two of our boys were a boy. One of our boys was a Boy Scout. After a while, he didn't enjoy it too much.
But that meant you weren't active as a den mother.
As a matter of fact, I was not a den. I was a den mother. But in fact, we had meetings here in the house. The children used to meet in the homes. During that time. But Frank became disenchanted with it after about two or three years.
I was mainly interested in your involvement with it. That's what I wanted to know.
We had the Boy Scout meetings here at home.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I didn't know
The girls were not interested at all, and neither was Gordon. He wasn't interested in it either. I was on the I was on the board of the local United Jewish Federation and a secretary.
Wait a minute, United Jewish Federation secretary.
Right.
How long were you secretary and when was that?
But the term was no more. It was a 3-year period. I was a member of the Ladies' Hospital Aid and I'm still a board member of the Ladies' Hospital.
Were you a board member, you say, of Ladies? Mm-hmm. What did you do on the board? What was your...
One could only be on the board by election or holding a chairmanship.
Well, did you have a chairmanship about election?
I think I've had a chairmanship in every organization that I've been active in, that I've belonged to.
But no special one in Ladies' Hospital Aid that you want to record?
Right. Usually it was on public relations, because I suppose several of the organizations, knowing that I'm involved in so many things, and I had the good fortune of knowing the community fairly well, that they felt that public relations is my tool. But I've been membership chairman, donor chairman, and now in the Council of Jewish Women, I had an extremely interesting job. During the Hitler period, when the German people started coming to the United States en masse by the hundreds, I was then the chairman of Service to Foreign Born. And it was perhaps one of the most interesting jobs I held in council, because at that time, the Federation, the United Jewish Federation, had its offices on Fernando Street.
Excuse me, was that only Jewish or all Germans that you were active with? When you had the service of the foreign born, did you only work with the Jewish or did you work with all German refugees?
No. As a matter of fact, there weren't any non-Jewish refugees coming in that I know of. They were Jewish refugees because it was mainly the Jewish people who were being persecuted. And when they came to Pittsburgh, there were several, many, I don't know how many hundreds came, and we had to collect clothing. Good clothing, furnishings for the people that came over. And these things were brought to the Federation after Federation quarters on Fernando Street. There was a large committee working at that time. And we had to... Fernando Street. That was with the Federation was still in existence at that time. And... it required a great deal of time, and I might add that when these people came over, there were a few that came in when they suspected that Hitler was going to become a very strong. When these people came originally at that time, they even shipped furniture at that time. They were allowed to take anything that they wanted from Germany. And many of these German people whom I had the good fortune to visit in their homes got this massive furniture. It must have cost a fortune to ship these things. They were at that time permitted to bring anything they wanted. But when Hitler really came into power, they left with absolutely nothing more than what they had on their backs. So that when they arrived in the city, or any city to which they came in the United States, they needed everything. We had to get housing for them, furniture, furnishings, clothing, and we had this tremendous stock of clothes on Fernando Street. And I might add that when they came, they were very unhappy with being given secondhand things, as it were, because we must remember that these people were highly cultured, highly educated. Some of them had been affluent people in Germany, and they were disappointed that they were being given hand-me-downs. They were disappointed and dissatisfied and unhappy, which is different, by the way, the attitude of the Russian families that are coming into the United States. Right now, as a matter of fact, in Pittsburgh, we have, I think we now have gotten the 31st family, the 31st Jewish family in the city of Pittsburgh. The Germans, when they came, after a short time, when they became somewhat acclimated, immediately organized what was called, and still is in existence, the Friendship Club. And they helped the families that followed them, the German families that followed them. The organization is still in existence, and many of whom are my very dear friends because I had such long association with them. It was a sad experience for me because the families were frustrated and dissatisfied and unhappy. Because of the circumstances that they had to meet here. And the community didn't have an easy time with them.
Are you saying the Russian Jews are adjusting more
easily? The Russian Jews are what?
Adjusting more happily?
They are adjusting, I think, more easily.
And accepting everything?
I wouldn't say they're accepting everything, but they seem to have...
more appreciative of them.
I don't know that they knew that they would, to begin with, they're not as well-to-do as the Germans were in Germany at that time. Although they're highly cultured, these families, they're educated people, they're intelligent people, the Russians that are coming in now. But they knew that they were going to have to meet some experiences to which they will have to become adjusted. Maybe they've heard about the circumstances mm-hmm. of the German people. You see, the Russians didn't have the opportunities mm-hmm. in Russia that the Germans had in Germany. Mm-hmm. To begin with, all they know, I've had experience with the Russian Jews, by the way, too. I've met them and I've gone to the hospitals with them. And the only thing they know is that they're Jewish. They've had no Jewish life. They had no synagogues. They had no religion. The Russians, they had none at all. And all they know is that they're Jewish, and they're enjoying becoming Jews in reality.
Now, would you say that that about sums up all the community
No, she may have
jobs you have, or you
no,
have
I was, for instance, on the board of the USO, which is the United Service Organization. Don't forget this was all during the Second World War. I was on the board of the Conference of Christians and Jews.
How long were you on that?
As long as I was, I would say about 5 years.
You remember when?
No. I was a member of the, I was on the board of the Congress of Club and Club Women.
Board of what?
The Congress of Club and Club Women. I was a non, it's comparable to our conference, of Pittsburgh Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations.
But it's every,
right.
Includes everyone.
It includes non-Jewish organizations and Jewish. I might say that the only Jewish organizations belong to the Congress of Club and Club Women was the Pittsburgh Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations.
Which represented all the rest.
Right.
I see.
But I think, and I'm not sure, but I think the Council of Jewish Women also was.
Well, were you on in your, when you were head of the Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations, that why you were on that board?
Right, but for the first term. Mm-hmm. Then for the second term, when I was no longer the president of the Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations, I was put on the board of the Pittsburgh Conference of Jewish Shortens, of the Congress of Club and Club Women.
Mm-hmm.
I was,
does that sum it up, do you think?
Yeah, for the organization.
For the organizations.
Right. That is, the ones that I'm on the board of.
Did you do any work
I'm on
for
the
some
Hebrew Institute, of course.
Board of Hebrew Institute.
And I'm now a life member of the Hebrew Institute.
You were also a board member?
Of the
of
Hebrew
that? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A life member of the board?
Mm-hmm. The board of the Hebrew Institute. Mm-hmm. And incidentally, coming back to the United, the National Women's Division of the United Jewish Appeal, when I was the chairman of the Women's Division of the United Jewish Fund here in Pittsburgh, which was, I imagine that I was active in that in about 1947 and 48, and 48 the State of Israel was established, I became the chairman of the Women's Campaign in 1949. And I think I mentioned to you the last time that that campaign was very successful. It was the largest amount that had been raised by the Women's Division. And it was due certainly not to my efforts. No campaign is successful to any one individual. It was we had a terrific setup of women. And the response in the community was extraordinarily good because the state had just been established and everybody in the community knew that the Israel needed the money.
Was that Evident, was it UJA then or UJF?
The United Jewish Fund.
Fund.
The we inaugurated this Women's Day for the campaign, and then we had an advanced gifts group of which Gertrude Markle, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Jack Markle, was the chairman, and the. Our ambition was to have the advance gifts contribute a dollar a day. That's $365 was considered a good contribution in advance gifts, which shows you how we have advanced where now we have women giving
2,700.
Well, we have some women who give even more. We have one or two or three who give even more than that. But it's remarkable how the Jewish community has learned to give. The campaign was so successful that I was invited to come and tell the National UJA how we did so well. Subsequently, I was put on the board of the United Jewish, of the National Women's Division of UJA. And after, I think, 2 or 3 years, I was invited to be on the executive committee of the National UJA, and then I became a vice president of the National UJA, of the Women's Division. And from that...
What did you say, president or vice president?
Vice president.
Now, when you remember what date that was? No, that's all right.
You can tell the date when I got to. I'll give you this material so you can get through it. Because I was the national vice president of the National UJA, my obligation was to organize the campaigns, the women's division in the entire Tri-State area, which required my going to the communities to give talks on the needs of the United Jewish Appeal for the Tri-State area, which meant that I had to go to the communities to speak and to organize the women. And I've had a very fine relationship in this area, and that's why I know as many people as I do, even in the Tri-State area. Because I became the vice president of the National UJA, then I got on the National Joint Distribution Committee, the National United Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which we refer to as HIAS.
The National HIAS.
Yeah, that's HIAS. The National Women's Division of Jewish Welfare Board.
And wait a minute, National what?
The National Women's Division Jewish Welfare Board.
What does HIAS stand for again, please?
National United Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. I was on the National Board of the Women's Division for 9 years.
Okay. 9 years, what? 9 years, where?
I was on the board for 9 years of the National Women's Division.
Of UJA?
Right.
You went to conventions or those kind of things too, I'm sure, was involved.
I never failed to be there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there was no purpose in my being there.
When you went, did your family go with you?
That's when we
took everybody.
That's when we took the children to New York.
Did your husband go to any conventions, dental and that sort of thing,
he
too?
He used
I would
to
imagine.
Go to Zionist Organization conventions because he was involved as a membership chairman.
Did you have any involvement in any political organizations?
To this very day, I am interested in politics and have campaigned for candidates. Not to the same degree that I am in the philanthropic organizations, but I, as a community citizen, I feel obligated to be interested.
Who, for instance?
What do you mean?
Which politicians have you worked for?
Well, I...
Actively.
As a matter of fact, any candidate that I'm particularly interested in, it could have been for a judge or a councilman or any candidate that is put up for election that I'm particularly interested in. As a matter of fact, you see the voting quarters are at Linden School for this area. And we use our home for telephoning to call people in to come, those that we know haven't voted. Practically every campaign, I stay home and call the people who haven't come out to vote yet. We have two phones, so that different phones, so that we come in here to call the people that haven't voted. We check very closely to see who hasn't come out to vote.
Besides politics, and you said what you did during the war, did the Depression change your family? You were married during the Depression. Did it affect your life in any way, you and your husband, or was it just an early marriage starting out, as all early marriages do?
I wouldn't say that it affected us, because we've never done anything overwhelming as far as living is concerned. We lived a very natural, normal life. We never went to extremes in any regard. So that while things were tight, mm-hmm. We never lived a kind of life that we felt, well, it's too bad that we can't do the many things that we did. Whatever we did, took advantage of things in the manner that we could.
Mm-hmm. What about the doing prohibition? Did that affect your social life in any way? Or?
Not at all.
I would like to ask you about the contrast, the way you were raised as to the way you raised your children. Do you have any
Well, I think you'll find that my generation was reared differently than the way we reared our children. It's not that I was rearing my children. However, I mentioned to you before that my mother was a great influence on our family, and I tried to rear our children, I should say my husband and I, because I think his family too reared children differently than we would have. And knowing how we were reared, we tried to sort of follow the pattern. We were disciplinarians, both of us, particularly my husband. In fact, sometimes I felt that he was too much of a disciplinarian. When the children were young, until they were ready to go to college, we had a great deal to say about their activities and what they should and should not do. They didn't always do the things that we wanted them to. Very normal children.
But you and your husband shared it 50-50. One was.
I can honestly say that when my husband said something, I never contradicted him. I may have felt differently than he did, but I never said it in his presence. And he, whatever I said, he never contradicted me. But he would he didn't always agree with me either. But for instance, Hebrew school. Let's take that as an example. None of our children wanted to go to Hebrew school. They wanted to do the things that other children were doing. But they had no choice in the matter. We felt that they should have a Jewish education. And they went whether they wanted to or not. And it's done them some good.
Did they also go to the Sunday School of B'nai Yeshua?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Now, are your children involved in community work?
Not to the degree, not to the degree that they should be. To begin with, they were in college, so that they couldn't be when they were young. Two of them are married. Estelle is even after she became married, she continued with education, and. They live a, I would say, an average Jewish life. They both of them are married children. I would say at the present time could live have more Jewish activity. However, Estelle and Sholem, their daughter who's 9, has already been going into Hebrew school for 2 years. Our children started when they were 7, and they were in Hebrew school until they graduated high school. And Estelle, I was pleasantly surprised in Sholem. And Sholem, incidentally, too went to Hebrew school, and he too graduated the College of Jewish Studies, and I was very pleased that their oldest child, who's 9, has already been in Hebrew school for 2 years. Frank's children, Rita's 7, and he's not yet started to Hebrew school. Whatever Jewish activities, whatever Jewish life, as far as holidays are concerned, the children still come to our home for the holidays and so on. Throughout our children's life, we celebrated every Jewish holiday.